Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your tender mercies, Lord, and we thank you for helping us do all things well and in excellence, Lord. We ask that you continue to guide us, Lord, and show us what you have for each and every one of us, Lord, so that we're successful in the race that you've called us to run, Lord, and that we do everything you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we continue our study in the book of James. We're in chapter 3, covering verses 1 through 5. So if you're just joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode at this time. Just take a moment to read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And the floor is now open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, promise.
Okay. In the previous episode, we were generally talking about how what we say affects what we experience inside of our life on the earth, that is. And the Lord was asking, well, he wanted me to further, not necessarily develop it, but itemize it, as in what is affected and why, as in why it's not good to be mute, as in allowing God to lead us and guide us in order to say what we need to say, rather than, as Mommy said, allowing our words to fly at our lips, because it's not going to produce the outcome or the heavenly outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And first, the first one, inside of James, it talks about teachers, and what the Lord is getting at here is that when we say something, it's also an example for those around us. Going to Matthew 23:13, it talks about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, how they prohibited other people from entering in, and also themselves. Well, how did they do that? They didn't do it by actually grabbing people and then moving them around, because we know that people still have a mind and they're still able to do what they need to do in order to be saved. Mm-hmm. It's more so by what they're saying. Going to Daniel, talking about the fourth beast. It didn't say it was sitting there mute. And then it was doing all these things. It said it had a mouth and it was speaking, and as a result, it heaped up judgment, which, as we know, the fourth beast was talking about the devil. And the same applies here, what we say and how we say it, whether or not we say it the way God tells us to say it or the way we think it should be said, is going to ultimately change the outcome, what God is getting at. And then, another thing is, it's also a door, whether or not we're going to allow the adversary in or we're going to allow the Lord in. And to exemplify that, I would like to bring us to Romans 10:9-10.
Amen.
And it says that if you confess, this is talking about salvation, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with that mouth confession is made unto salvation. So while we may believe one thing inside of our heart, it doesn't actually receive power unless it's vocalized. Now I shall bring us back to James and go up a couple sections talking about our works and how the Lord reminded me of how that what we focus on, for example, for a gun, there's a sight on it. The sight is what we say through our mouth. As in, the sight is, our words act as a sight for our faith. So if we're saying all these words, are we actually looking at what God wants us to look at and actually doing what God tells us to do? No, we're going to go into the direction that our words are directing us to.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the horse with a bit is to direct the horse.
Okay, if I could clarify that just a little bit. If you have you're hunting and your rifle has a sight on it, whatever your sight is trained on is the direction that your ammunition, your bullet's going to go when the gun is fired. It's an impossible thing if your sight is attached correctly to your gun, that if your sight is trained on a deer on the left of you, that your bullet is suddenly going to fly to the right to get the owl that's in the tree. It's going to go where it's trained, where it's focused on, where the whatever the target is locked on, whatever the sights are looking at, that's the direction that your ammunition is going to go. So likewise, our faith is going to go in the direction of whatever our words are locked on. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Thank you, Mommy.
You're welcome. Amen to that, and that's accurate. That's accurate. You can't say one thing and then expect to have another thing come to you and your faith to be working on it. Your faith is going to work at whatever your words have been released towards, right? Because that's how we get salvation. You cannot confess that Jesus is Lord and then think you're not going to receive salvation. It doesn't go that way, and vice versa. You cannot say that Jesus is not Lord and think you're going to make it to heaven. Those don't work together. There has to be agreement. Go ahead, honey.
Yes, Mommy, and as you're speaking, the Lord reminded me of something you had told me a couple days ago. You and I were talking, and you reminded me of how that no one believes me. Well, I believe no one like I believe myself.
Correct.
Which is to say, whatever I'm going to say, I'm practically going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I may know it's a lie, I'm still going to believe that more directly if I heard it from someone else.
Yes, we don't believe anybody else's words more than we believe our own, which is why the word says that we are of those that believe and therefore speak, right? God doesn't take our word above his own. He believes himself more than he believes us. And likewise, yes, we believe God. We grow to believe God. But even still, we have to agree within ourselves that we are going to believe God more than we believe what we say. We even have to train our natural being, spirit, soul, and body, to do that, believe God fully more than we believe ourselves. But you have to hear you saying the word of God, right?
Yes.
Didn't Abraham have a conversation with the Lord concerning Isaac being raised from the dead? He had to come to a conclusion. That was an internal conversation that he had. It wasn't sufficient at that moment for his faith to work fully, just hearing God say, come and offer him to me and it'll be all right. He needed to work that out in himself. Not because God was invalid, but that's how the Lord designed us to be. Spirit, soul, and body has to agree with what he's saying, willingly agree, so we're able to move forward in faith to do whatever it is that God has put before us. But if you say things that aren't true and you keep working at it, you may know that you're lying about it, but there's a part of you that believes what you're saying, or you succumb to that lie and live under the shadows of it because that's what you said, right? The complexity of humanity. Go ahead, Promise.
And how with all those examples, the Lord wants us to let God guide our sight and our aim and our tongue, and to teach us so that we are able to actually do what God has asked us to do. Going back to the example of the gun. Actually, no, a different example. Some time ago, Dad was teaching us how to shoot. At the time, I did not know how to shoot, so of course I'm going to be inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And Dad had to direct me and teach me how to actually aim it, or else I was going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
In which I ended up missing because I wasn't actually doing it correctly. The same applies here. When we allow God to shape our perspective, we're able to actually walk out his path that he has given us, our destiny track. Mommy, you're talking about the ship in the previous episode. Are we going to carry the cargo that God has given us, or are we going to go pick something else up?
Mm-hmm.
And pick something that's ultimately disastrous for our life.
Mm-hmm. And are we going to navigate to the right location and destination with that cargo that we've picked up? That's not just enough to get the right cargo on the ship. If you get the cargo on the ship and it sinks in the middle of the ocean, did you win?
No.
Did you fulfill your purpose? No. Or if you end up, you know, worked out for Christopher Columbus to get to a wrong destination, but ultimately getting to the right place. And we know that was God's divine hand helping him, but in concept, getting where we're supposed to go with that cargo safe and in hand is the idea. That's the name of the game, not sink it in the middle of the ocean.
The destination being re-entering into the heavenly community.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Just something quickly that you mentioned, Mommy, when you were talking about the humans, the way that the Lord made mankind about we don't believe anyone more than we believe ourselves. And I thought for just a second that sounded so, I don't know, odd.
Thought it was wrong. Yeah, I get it. That's all right.
But then the thing about that is, in the moment that I had the thought, the Lord came to me with the answer, the solution. And he told me that's a protective measure. That's part of that self-preservation. So because the adversary is out to deceive, unless we accept his deception internally and we believe that, then he's got no power to do anything in our lives. He has no right, no authority, no anything, which is
so wait, did the Lord say that I was right? I just want to get that out there.
Yes, the Lord did say you were right, mommy.
Jesus is right. I learned that from him. It wasn't absolutely something I pulled out of my fancy bag of Kamishaisms. I don't have one of those. I say what the Lord says to say, and I teach what he's told me as truth in my own life. I teach what he's taught me. So I didn't tell myself that.
Yes, ding, mommy.
Okay, go ahead. Carry on. What else did he say to you?
So if you look at Adam and woman in the garden, the adversary had no power. He couldn't put strings on woman and go eat that fruit. It only occurred after, and if you read it, you know what? I'm just going to read it because there's no reason to quote the word wrong. Okay. This is going to be Genesis chapter 3 under, let me see, verse. Okay. I'll just read the first 6 verses. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every green of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, here's where she messed it up, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it." He never said that, "lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And he was right about knowing the evil part. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took up its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Right there, woman had to agree with the deception that the adversary was telling her in order to have, for the adversary to have that claim in her and be able to, you know, rope her in. Mommy, you're raising your hand.
Yes,
now.
I want to make it a little bit more clear. She believed her own assessment of it.
Exactly.
It wasn't pleasant. She can't say what's pleasant to the serpent's eyes. It was pleasant to her eyes.
Yes, mommy.
And it seemed like it would suit the purpose that she thought it would suit. So she assessed it. Because until she assessed it with her own eyes, she hadn't partaken of the fruit. They were just having a conversation. But it wasn't until she said, oh, it's good for food. She saw. That meant she looked at it. She analyzed it. She decided and determined it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable. Whose desire?
Her own.
Sin is a personal thing, right?
Yes,
each
mommy.
One we read at the beginning of James. Each man is tempted by what?
When he's
I'm not tempted
away
by what? By
lust.
Your looking eyes. I'm tempted by my own.
So right? What did she state to her husband? And yes, in what you read, it doesn't say that she said anything, tying it back to the tongue, right? But the Lord said to Adam, "You chose to listen to
your wife."
Okay, so she then told Adam, her husband,
"Come taste some of this.
This is what this fruit, this piece
this
of fruit.
This is my assessment
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. So she said that, and the Lord acknowledged that and said, you chose to listen to your wife, ultimately, instead of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, Dan.
And the woman was not deceived by the serpent. The woman mm-hmm. was drawn away and tempted by her own lust.
Exactly. She had to agree with him, though, for him to have any power, which is why when we see the Messiah mm-hmm. and he's telling his disciples, he said, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. I've made no contractual agreement with him that gives him claim to stick his nasty little paws in what the Lord was doing through him to mm-hmm. steal, kill, and destroy, because he does all three. He's not just going to leave off the
other two. He'll
do whatever
he gets his paws on. Whatever mm-hmm. he gets permission or gets his hands on, he's going to try to go for it.
Exactly.
So you don't give him permission.
So then that was what the Lord was showing me about the protective part for us, for our spiritual and our natural lives. We have to enter by contract, by verbal. You know, it can be internal. You can do that as well. But something has to be said that gives legal access and claim to another party, which mm-hmm. is why when we say with our mouths, we give God legal access to be our Lord and Savior. And should we remain mute? Also, Daddy, one of your favorite sayings that you tell us often, the silence is deafening. You stay silent, you by default agree to enter into contract with the adversary. There's no getting around it. There's no, I'm in contract with myself. Nobody. It's black or it's white. If you don't have the white, then it's automatically black. Mommy, now you're raising your hand again.
Mm-hmm. Revelation 12:11 says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word Amen. Of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So that's, and actually I'll read verse 10. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, and the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him. That's the ones who are being accused. They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So going back to the example of woman in the garden, when the adversary came, she should have said, what? The word of her testimony is, God said no. The answer is no. It's a no for me. And she should have said, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help! There's a burglar in here.
So she should have bound him and rebuked him or cast him out.
That's right. She had the authority. She should have kicked him out of the garden. There's a variety of ways it could have come to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. But the moral of the story, if you will, the takeaway is she should have said, I don't believe you, devil. I believe God. Right? The word of their testimony is that Jesus is Lord. I believe God. Right?
Yes, mommy.
That's basic salvation. I believe Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh and died and was raised again on the third day for me. I believe. That's the testimony. Not I believe that chickens coo in the morning, but I believe specific on the Christ. I know it doesn't even matter because people believe that Buddha and Allah or whomever else are God. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. Then they will be on their way to Sheol, sadly, unless they change course. But I believe Jesus is Lord, and not just a Lord. He's my Lord, right?
Yes, mommy.
That's the answer. But she had to declare it out of her mouth. But she did not. She did not testify that she agreed with the Lord. So the word of her testimony was important for her life. Just like the word of your testimony is important for your life, and the word of my testimony is important for my life, and the blood of the Lamb. Amen to that. We're not leaving that for one Amen. Second, but we're talking about the word component of it right now, because it's not just the blood. If you don't apply the blood by using your words, then it will not be applied to you. Don't just think
yes,
it.
Mommy.
You better speak it, right? Because he said, if you will not confess me, right, on
yes,
earth
mommy.
Before men, I will not confess you. That's a verbal thing. It's not just staying there, standing silent, staring into oblivion, hoping somebody will know what I'm thinking. No, He said, confess me before men, and he will confess us before his God. That's a verbalization. What is your declaration? What do you believe? What's in your heart? Woman in the garden should have said what the Lord had already said, actually, and then declared that she believed him because she questioned him, right? That's why she came up with a different assessment. When he said it means death, she said, well, I think it's all right. And she believed herself over anybody else. That's all I have to say about that. Go ahead, Layla.
Well, amen. Let's pause there for today. This is a lot.
That was a heated discussion. No.
No, no. It was good. It was necessary. And I'll say, do the Lord provide time and opportunity for people to go search out the scripture for themselves, have it written on the tablet of their heart as the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Amen?
Amen.
So can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for the time of the word this morning, Lord. We thank you for the understanding and the wisdom that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for filling our quiver with faith arrows, Lord, so that we're able to do war and wage battle and be successful and victorious in that endeavor, Lord. We thank you for our partners and listeners, Lord, that you are blessing them, that you have the hedge of protection over all their houses and money and cars and whatever that you've entrusted to their care, Lord, that you're watching over it, that you're keeping it, and that you're preserving it and preserving them, Lord. And we thank you for who you are and everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So until next time, take care and God bless you.